Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Throughout its history, this court has recognized that state power is at its apex when it regulates to ensure safety in the healthcare professions. Colorado's law lies at the bullseye center of this protection because it prohibits licensed professionals from performing one specific treatment because that treatment does not work and carries great risk of harm.
This is Shannon Stevenson. She is the Solicitor General for Colorado, defending the state at the Supreme Court yesterday in what I thought was a very interesting case. You know me, I listen to these oral arguments and I want to share them with you. And I want to explain to you why, you know, the case is more interesting, more complicated than it seems. Also, I want you to understand these issues because they turn out to become, you know, patterns for other states to follow. Everything like from Tennessee in the Scrimeti case, where you had a state allowed to ban transgender therapies, hormone therapy and surgeries for minors. Well, this Colorado goes the other direction. They say you can't talk kids who, even if they want to be talked, you cannot talk them into being less gay or less trans. The law actually says, HB 19-1129, conversion therapy means any practice or treatment by a licensed physician specializing in the practice of psychiatry that attempts or purports to change an individual's sexual orientation or gender identity, including, this is the key, the details here are key, including efforts to change behaviors or change expressions or to eliminate or reduce sexual or romantic attraction or feelings toward individuals of the same sex. So if somebody has gay attraction and they don't want to have it, you cannot do anything for them. And if they have trans feelings or gender dysphoria, all you can do is help them to embrace it. You can help them to be more gay. You can't help them to be less gay. You can help them to be more trans. You can't help them to be less trans. That's what the law says. So this Christian practitioner of talk therapy only comes to the Supreme Court and says, hey, this law makes it a violation of my First Amendment, my right of conscience, to help kids who both them and their parents want to be less trans and less gay, and the state won't let me. And the state says, yeah, this is medical consultation. It's not in line with our standards of care. It's harmful. There's no evidence that it works. And so we regulate it.
No court has ever held that a law like this implicates the First Amendment, and for good reason. First, the law applies only to treatments. That is, only when a licensed professional is delivering clinical care to an individual patient. In that setting, providers have a duty to act in their patient's best interest and according to their professional standards. The First Amendment affords no exception.
Any professional licensing system, especially one around public safety, you have to comport with the standards of that industry. And if you're advising people to do things that are bad for them, then you don't get to keep your license. You want to spout some crazy theory from the pulpit? Fine. You want to spout some crazy theory online or in your, you know, personal publication or around the dinner table? Fine. First Amendment. You can't charge money for people to come see you for health care advice for which you're certified by the state and tell them things that we believe are unhealthy.
State cannot lose its power to regulate the very professionals that it licenses just because they are using words. A health care provider cannot be free to violate the standard of care just because they are using words. And a state cannot be required to let its vulnerable young people waste their time and money on an ineffective, harmful treatment just because that treatment is delivered through words.
And that's the state's case. And I'm trying to, you know, part of my job, I think, a lot of times is to make you see the other side, because it's very easy to knee-jerk react to something. Well, I think for kids, if they're gay or trans, that's fine. So Colorado's right. Or I think that gay or trans is bad. So Colorado's wrong. Okay. Do better. You know, understand there's more than just that. There's a lot more than that in this particular question. So Justice Thomas asks,
in Colorado, are there only health care providers who provide this sort of service?
No, the law accepts, I don't know factually if there are, but the law exempts religious ministers and ministries from this. And there is also a group of people called life coaches who could perform this therapy.
See, that means that you can charge money. A life coach could charge money in order to share with you their theories about how you can be less gay or less trans in Colorado. It's just you can't do it as a counselor or a doctor or a healthcare practitioner. That's the line. So Justice Thomas says,
so what exactly transforms speech in that context to speech that is protected in that context to speech that is not in the therapist context.
As in, why do you let the religious folks and the life coaches do it, and why do you not let the counselor do it?
Is the relationship between a healthcare provider and the patient that establishes this special context. And again, if you go to a life coach or you go to someone else, they're not licensed by the state. You're not expecting them to be complying with standards of care. You have a different expectation. When you're going to see a licensed healthcare professional who owes you fiduciary duties, your expectations are different. You're expecting information that is complying with the standard of care and not expecting the practitioner to just be exercising their right to say whatever they want to say. And that's just materially different, and it's always been treated so.
So their argument, the state's argument, is this is not a First Amendment issue because the First Amendment is about, you know, your own personal opinions about things. This is a matter of the licensed, certified, state seal-approved medical advice being given by somebody who is purporting to be a medical practitioner of some kind. That's where we draw the line, and we say that that kind of speech is not protected in the way that the speech of the average person or the pastor or the life coach would be protected. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, starting to see those congestion delays through the construction zone. Highway 29 southbound is from about 10 Mile all the way down southbound to 9 Mile, seeing about a 7 to 9 minute delay. And also Highway 90 southbound headed into Pensacola, seeing about a 5 to 7 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to the oral arguments yesterday. Again, the female voice you're hearing is Shannon Stevenson. She is the Solicitor General for the state of Colorado defending their law, which prohibits doctors and counselors from advising or doing anything that would lean in the direction of having a kid be less gay, feel less gay, be less trans. They can help them be gay and trans or more gay and trans. They cannot help them be less. That's the key to the law. Justice Gorsuch is going to ask the question here that is going to, I mean, it's a little bit of a spinner, but it's the point is you've got to be consistent about your principle. If today you can prohibit this, well, back in the 1970s when the DSM, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual for all of psychotherapy and psychiatry, said the exact opposite about being gay, what then?
I want to ask you the mirror, what Justice Kagan called the mirror image question, and Mr. Mupon and Judge Hartz's example about homosexuality in the 1970s was professionally considered to be a mental health disorder. What if a state back then or might have passed a law prohibiting talk therapy that affirmed homosexuality? Would that be subject to rational basis review on your theory?
And again, when you're talking about speech issues, you have heightened scrutiny, which means that you have to have alternatives. You have to do least restrictive means, which means you can't just do anything. You have to do the one that's going to burden speech the least. There's all kinds of additional layers of requirement. And what the state has argued and been granted by the lower courts is simple rational basis, which means they have to show that they have a legitimate harm they're trying to prevent, and they have something that is rationally connected to preventing that harm in their legislation. And the plaintiffs in this case are saying, at the very least, you have to go to heightened scrutiny. And if you go to heightened scrutiny, they cannot win this case. So the Supreme Court could either strike down the law entirely, or it could send it back to the lower courts and say, apply heightened scrutiny. In any case, what Gorsuch is saying is, look, back in the 70s, the science was the exact opposite. You know, gay attraction was a mental health disorder. Could you then have banned a counselor from telling somebody it's okay to be gay?
So, Your Honor, what our theory depends on is that there is a treatment being provided that's being regulated.
Yeah.
And that the regulation is consistent with the standard of care.
Let's check both of those boxes in our hypothetical.
Then yes. And I want to return to Justice Jackson's point because...
So, yes,
they could regulate.
The state could forbid a regulated licensed professional from affirming homosexuality.
If that were consistent
with the then... prevailing standard of care.
That's right.
And so likewise, if the prevailing standard of care were to change or to solidify that this sort of talk therapy is beneficial to minors or at least not harmful to minors, then a state could pass a mirror image statute to Colorado's that prohibits any attempt to affirm changes of gender identity or sexual orientation, and that would be subject to mere rational basis review on your theory.
That's right, Your Honor.
And to her credit, that is a consistent answer. If the science or the, you know, the standard of care changes, then yes. We aren't obligated to change. But we would have to allow for that, and we certainly could prohibit the other direction. And remember, you know, you've got these cases, the Scrimeti cases, the famous one right now, recently, where, you know, if a state wants to ban transgender surgeries or hormone therapies for minors, they can. So that some states have gone the opposite direction with medical practice and conduct, not just speech, but with medical practice and conduct. And now Colorado is in the other direction, prohibiting anything that would reduce, including in this case, just the speech. Justice Alito is going to ask a follow-up question.
Suppose an adolescent male comes to a licensed therapist and says he's attracted to other males, but feels uneasy and guilty about those feelings, and he wants to end or lessen them and asks for the therapist's help in doing so. Under your interpretation of the statute, is that banned?
So, Your Honor, our interpretation of the statute turns entirely on whether the purpose of the therapy is to change the person's sexual orientation or gender identity. If that
What is the answer to my question? Is that banned or is it not banned?
If the therapist told him or he asked, can you help me become straight, the answer would be it would be banned. If it was, can you help me cope with my feelings as to how I am and how I want to live my life, that's permitted.
Oh, man, she is playing really, really parse the words here, because the statute, as I read to you, says including efforts to change behaviors or gender expressions or to eliminate or reduce sexual or romantic attraction or feelings toward individuals of the same sex. So clearly, if you try to change somebody's orientation, that's a violation of the law. If you try to help them just cope with their sexual orientation or trans identity, that would be fine. But she's making it sound like if all you're doing is helping them reduce your same-sex attraction, that's not prohibited. That is absolutely prohibited by the law, if you read it. It's very clear.
In the first situation, an adolescent male comes to a licensed therapist and says he's attracted to other males, but he feels uneasy and guilty about those feelings. He wants to end or lessen them, and he asks for the therapist's help in doing so. The other situation is a similar adolescent male comes to a licensed therapist, says he's attracted to other males, feels uneasy and guilty about those feelings, and he wants the therapist's help so he will feel comfortable as a gay young man. It seems to me your statute dictates opposite results in those two situations based on the viewpoint expressed. One viewpoint is the viewpoint that a minor should be able to obtain talk therapy to overcome same-sex attraction if that's what he or she wants, and the other is the viewpoint that the minor should not be able to obtain talk therapy to overcome same-sex attraction, even if that is what he or she wants. Looks like blatant viewpoint discrimination.
That's it. That's the First Amendment you're done here kind of question. And she says,
as I heard your examples, I think they would both be permissible because it didn't sound like in either case the goal was to actually change sexual orientation. And again, that's the touchstone because that's where the harms come from. And if there is no goal
I guess I had the same kind of question that Justice Alito had. I mean, if we assume, for example, and this is a big assumption on your part, but just assume that we're in normal free speech land rather than in this kind of doctor land. And if a doctor says, I know you identify as gay, and I'm going to help you accept that. And another doctor says, I know you identify as gay, and I'm going to help you to change that. And one of those is permissible and the other is not. That seems like viewpoint discrimination in the way we would normally understand viewpoint discrimination.
That's Elena Kagan, one of the liberals on the court. And she's saying, but seriously, it's viewpoint discrimination, right? Like, you hear it when we say it clearly. It's viewpoint discrimination.
I don't disagree with that, Justice Kagan, and that's why medical treatment has to be treated differently. Because anytime you exclude one harmful practice, you are by definition saying these things are allowed because they are not harmful and these things are excluded because they are harmful.
And that's the response by the Colorado, the legislature, the governor, and also now the Solicitor General is saying medicine is different. Medicine is not mere opinion sharing. Medicine is not just the First Amendment. Medicine has standards, and you have to honor those standards in just the same way that the guy building your house has to honor the building codes and can't just tell you, hey, use a 1x6 instead of a 2x4, everything's fine. You'd sue them when the house falls down, just like you could sue a doctor for malpractice, or you could decertify them for giving advice that's contrary to the standards of care. That's their view. So what's my takeaway from this? Well, I think the justices are going to strike this down. But I think the question has been framed wrong. I don't think that doctors are just doing First Amendment things, nor do I think the state should be able to heavy-handedly prohibit and tell doctors what they can and cannot do. I want to see more medical freedom by the doctors or the therapists. But I also don't think this is really about religious or political or opinion-based speech. It really is about medical consultation and advice. So it's a bit of a red herring to say it's all First Amendment, and it's a bit of a red herring to say it's all just medical speech. I think that, frankly, what the Constitution honors is a belief that doctors who are educated might give advice that is outside the normal standards of care, off-label prescription, so to speak. And that should be allowed. We don't want to stifle professionals in the advice they're giving, like we found out during COVID. Don't stifle them. Let them advise. But it's not really just a matter of opinion. Her Christian faith is not the issue. It's the medical practice and consulting people. And yes, it's viewpoint discrimination. I mean, very clearly. But I mean, there are some viewpoints maybe you don't want doctors encouraging people or counselors encouraging people to do. And that's true, too. So it's, and anyway, it's a very interesting question, very much more controversial in terms of being a close case than I had thought originally. And that's why I wanted to share it with you. So now you know. I mean, you know, a lot of times you read these. I mean, you know, look, social media is not going to help you much on this because it's just it's so dumb. I mean, the level of analytical rigor that you get on social media is so terrible. And even most of the news articles, though they might get a lot of the facts right, you know, their takeaway is going to be what the justices are likely to do, or the tone was this or whatever. And I'm trying to tell you there's a lot more to it, and that's why I wanted to spend some time on this issue today. 726 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
One accident to let you know about on Pine Forest Road and Wild Lake Boulevard, just a little bit south of that. We've got a vehicle accident there. No roadblock is when I'm starting to see delays on Pine Forest. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing our normal construction congestion delays. And let's see here, Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, expect about a 9 to 11 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
God answers our prayers one of three ways: yes, wait, or no. When God says yes, we rejoice. When God says wait, we learn patience. When God says no, we are reminded that He is God, because if God couldn't say no, then He wouldn't be God, we would be. As our loving Father, He says no to His children, and we submit to His will. As our King, He says no, and we bow our knee. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul asks God three times to remove a thorn in the flesh, and essentially, God says no. But God told Paul, "I will give you grace to handle your trial." Sometimes God says no to our request, but then He says yes to sufficient grace to help in the time of need.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Prim and Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit primandproper.com for more.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth and innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games?
Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app.
Tap that app
to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
I'm the machine!
Good morning, 729 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're 64, turning 65, and you need to talk to somebody about Medicare because it's going to be a big change for you and you've always done it, you know, with traditional health insurance, probably through your work, look, you've got questions. It's a complicated thing, but it's not that complicated, but it can seem kind of overwhelming if you don't know. Medicare Advantage Supplement, Medicaid, prescription drug benefits, all of that stuff. I've got a good friend who does this stuff. She's so sweet. You're going to love her. It's Ricky Stewart is her name. You can look her up at InsuredByRicky, RICKI.com, or give her a call, 341-2185. When I turn 64, I will definitely be talking to Ricky about helping me get over on Medicare.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Former FBI Director James Comey will be arraigned inside the federal court in Alexandria, Virginia. FBI Director Cash Patel in Chicago claims they have the evidence.
The revelation of details, and it will be forthcoming in the judicial process, as everyone in America is entitled to, including Mr. Comey, and we want him to have his day in court.
Officials say there will not be a so-called perp walk for Comey, but it's not clear if an arrest is planned. Sixth procedural vote later this morning in the Senate, the goal ending the partial government shutdown. It enters day eight. President Trump's Middle East envoy, Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner, and the Qatari prime minister involved in the peace talks.
Hamas and Israel reportedly exchanging lists of names, names of prisoners to be released and names of those hostages to be exchanged as well.
That's Fox's Steve Harrigan reporting from Tel Aviv. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 73 degrees right now. It is mostly cloudy here in Pensacola. We've got our forecast on the way with Brooke Richardson. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. Well, the man that plunged off the Bob Sykes Bridge and into the bay in his car last Sunday is speaking out about that experience. Chad McNair, he was on his way to work when it happened. He says he's still not sure exactly how he made it safely out of the vehicle.
All I know is it was God. That's all I know. It was God that pulled me up out of there. Like, I don't know why or the reason, but here I am.
And McNair does say his mother and other family members pray regularly. He thinks that played a major part in his survival. His vehicle hydroplaned Sunday during a rainstorm, crashed through the guardrail in between the two spans of the bridge. Police said he was driving about 30 miles an hour when the crash happened and miraculously suffered only bruises. And he is dealing with a case of pneumonia, but recovering after that crash. Well, Congressman Jimmy Patronis says he will be withholding his pay during the government shutdown. He held a news conference Tuesday highlighting the impact that the shutdown's having on government agencies, employees, and particularly our local military personnel in Northwest Florida. Patronis also expressed concerns over airline safety at airports in Pensacola and Fort Walton Beach, saying that TSA agents working without pay could lead to staff shortages, low morale, and increased wait times. The sheriff's office investigating a murder-suicide in McDavid. Investigators believe a woman killed her husband, then shot herself. Both were found dead with gunshot wounds Monday at a home on Century Boulevard. No details on that incident have been released. The Escambia Board of Commissioners looking for residents that would like to apply for positions on the Escambia County Tourist Development Council. If you're interested in that, you need to submit a resume by October 21st. The TDC reviews proposed expenditures to ensure it complies with the TDC plan. Members serve a four-year term. They meet twice a month. To serve, you do need to be involved in the tourism industry. Resumes submitted become a part of the official public record. Well, the new owners of the Tampa Bay Rays say they're hoping to have a new ballpark in place for opening day by 2029.
It's no secret that we need a new forever home to secure the Rays' long-term future in Tampa Bay.
And delivering upon that objective will be our first priority.
Patrick Lupski, and that's from his first news conference since he acquired the team last week. He says he wants to model a new stadium and mixed-use development on the Atlanta Braves complex, but so far he's not found a site for that. The group led by Lupski acquired the Rays after Hurricane Milton scuttled their plans for a redevelopment of the team's current home at Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg. 735 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
All right, Mike working now. I-10 eastbound between, Highway 29 and a 9 Mile going eastbound. You're going to see some major delays there through that construction zone. Also, Highway 29 southbound headed toward I-10. We've got some major delays in that area. Also Highway 90 coming into Pensacola is backed up halfway, almost back to pace. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Well, thank you very much, John. And right now, mostly cloudy. We've got 73 degrees. Let's get a check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at a small chance of rain this afternoon, 40% chance overall. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. For Thursday, small 20% chance of a stray shower. Otherwise, sunny skies, high near 86. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 69. Looking nice and sunny on Friday with a high near 80 degrees. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 62. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
7:36, our next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. AST Space Mobile has announced a deal with Verizon to provide cell service from space beginning next year. The deal, which did not have terms immediately available, brings direct-to-service connect via space to cell phone users on Verizon plans. AST shares surged more than 8% upon the news. Verizon shares added 0.8%. Arby's is redefining fast food snacking with the nationwide release of its steak nuggets, which are already available, but only for a limited time. The launch marks the first time a major chain has offered steak in nugget form, continuing Arby's push to have the meats in every possible shape. Budget Canadian airline WestJet has announced that customers will no longer be able to recline seats on their aircraft unless they pay extra. Economy seats will have a fixed recline design to help passengers preserve personal space. Futures are slightly higher as the government shutdown continues. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 91. The NASDAQ down 153. That's Your Money Now.
You can find Subaru dealers all along the Gulf Coast from Panama City to Biloxi, but you'll only find Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. And among all those Subaru dealers, it's Anderson Subaru who's ranked highest by Google in customer satisfaction, 4.8 stars and climbing. Thank you to our loyal customers for your trust and to our incredible team for delivering the care and commitment Subaru owners deserve. You're going to love Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola.
Details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
All of us at Taylor Warren Widener Hancock & Barnes want to thank you for selecting us for the second year in a row as In Weekly's Best of the Coast Best Law Firm.
We look forward to continuing to help our neighbors with insurance and personal injury claims. TWWLawFirm.com.
Taylor Warren Widener Hancock & Barnes, attorney and counselors at law.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants are backed by over 200 years of combined experience.
We've helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share.
With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs.
And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies to give your business an edge.
Let's make this a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station,
the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, or Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences.
Or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call today to get started. Call Jeff Wayne at 850-262-6000.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. D.C. Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola. He joins us most Wednesdays. Last week, we had the honor of Matt Coughlin, the airport director, because D.C. was out. But D.C., welcome back, sir.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Glad to be back.
Absolutely. Great to have you. Now, I know you're not going to answer the question, so I won't ask too much, but suffice it to say that the Doge thing and the CFO, you know, speech and the attacks on the sign and the attacks on the Sanger Theater and all that came in while you were out. We got a press release from Jason Wheeler. We've talked about this extensively in your absence. Yesterday, you indicated you didn't have anything to add. And I just want to make sure nothing has changed. You still don't have the report. You don't have the data. They haven't come back and asked for you for clarification. We're kind of at the same place we've been, right?
Yeah, that's right. And as I mentioned yesterday, you know, all I think about is, you know, we had to drop what we were doing. We had 47 staff members involved in this. We had, I believe it was 60,000 emails of metadata, countless gigabytes of data that was shared. And again, if you printed it out and lined it up end to end, it would go 50 miles long. That's how much data we shared. And so, you know, I'm just appreciative of our staff dropping what they were doing to handle, as we said from the beginning, whatever questions you ever have about how this government operates, we're happy to answer them. And if those couple of things that we certainly have differing opinions on are the biggest issues, you know, it is what it is. But to your point, no idea when a report's coming, none of that at this point.
It sounds to me like the compliance process was very time and personnel intensive, and it kind of sounds like you're saying maybe that one of the most inefficient things the city of Pensacola has done in the last few months is comply with the Department of Government Efficiency people from the state of Florida.
That's one opinion.
I know the political realities here. That's fine. It's fine. I'll let you off.
Hey, right.
No worries.
No, but listen, I think the bottom line is this. Doge, Department of Transportation, whatever. We have no insecurity whatsoever about how we use taxpayer dollars and the efficiency of which we do that. That's why, since the beginning, I've never had any concern whatsoever. I would only have a concern if I was insecure about some way that we were handling something. So, you know, I certainly take pride in running this operation in a business-like manner, and that it's that every decision that we can make, we can defend. Doesn't mean everybody would always agree with it, but that we can certainly defend. And so that's why, you know, we're again happy to comply with anything that was ever asked of us of any agency, and we'll continue to do so. So we'll just see what happens from here. But yeah, no real information about what's next.
Yeah, I know. I've talked a lot about how bad of a look this is from the governor's CFO's office. Anyway, well, I'll let it lie for now. What was the thing I was going to? Oh, Baptist. We just talked with Mark Faulkner and Casey Gartman yesterday extensively about the Baptist. You guys now own it. The city owns it. What is the next step? I mean, what are you doing now between now and the end of the year? I know demolition is coming, but what happens after that? What can the residents expect to see on that property and when?
Yeah, exactly. So I think the big month to remember, really in December, probably November council meeting, December action, will be two key things. One is, at that point, we should have an approved demolition contract and demolition can begin. Obviously, that'll be a long abatement process and all that through 2026. However, also at that time is when we would be bringing on our development advisor. So this is not a RFP for who the developer of a site would be or developers. this is someone who represents us that has gotten projects of this size and scale across the finish line that will be only working for the city and representing the city.
A project manager, basically.
Exactly. So somebody with development experience, large-scale development experience, who can look at a proposal, who can look at the intricacies of a deal. And as we all know, we've seen around here and in other parts of the state, of the region, you know, we understand that this is a heavy lift, that this is a complex project. But as you've heard me say so many times on here, you know, I think you have to know what you know and know what you don't know. We don't have a demolition expert that works full time at City Hall. So what do? We go hire an owner's rep that's going to represent us every single day on site during the demolition to make sure the neighborhood's conserved and, you know, preserved and protected. So, you know, so that, I think that's, those are the types of things that, that, you know, we should be making decisions on behalf of the taxpayer to make sure that we have the best information. So, so December, that will be the big part of what we do is we want to get the demolition going. And then also we should have this group on site working for us and helping us with community engagement and all of those things as the project moves forward.
And then after that, the timeline is as the bids, as the ideas, as the project manager sees fit, we'll see things pop up and get converted, the two buildings that are going to get converted, and you just kind of have to wait and see how that all plays out. Is that kind of where we're at?
Exactly. And part of the advisor is not just advising us. It's the community engagement. And I think one very key piece to this that was very intentional in our proposal for development advisors is we want realistic vision. Mm-hmm. In other words, and you've been here long enough, you know, we talk about big vision projects and we're going to have a Ferris wheel over here and we're going to put an amusement park over there. And then what happens is we get to the end and no developer's interested because this is what the community said that they've wanted. And then what ends up happening? Well, either that doesn't get built, and then people say, well, wait, the mayor told us they were going to build a Ferris wheel and amusement park.
Right.
Well, it was never going to pencil to begin with. And so I think
are we still talking about the Baptist property, or have we now started talking about OLF 8? I'm confused.
Oh no, I'm not. No comments on. Yeah, not comments.
All right, fair
business.
Enough. Just want to make sure we're staying on topic.
All my point is it's important that we start from the beginning with vision, yes, but realistic vision. What can actually be gotten across the finish line? And that's why that development advisor is so valuable to have.
We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. We'll be back with him in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Expect about a 10 to 11-minute delay in that area. But other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Mayor D.C. Reeves, in some ways, it's a small thing. But in other ways, it's not a small thing. Renaming of a street, a portion of West Belmont, right by Belmont and DeVillers, for Reverend John Powell. I want more streets. I want more statues. I want more signs. I want more history, not less. I love it when it's honoring people that deserve to be honored.
Yeah, we're excited about this too. And you're right. We didn't even really have a formal process for this to have this, you know, honorary street naming. And again, in the sense that there's an honorary street naming, people, there's that been that question of, would someone have to change their address now? No, mm-hmm. it would obviously be an honorary sign that is still on Belmont Street. But that block between DeVillers and Roos will now be named for the man that really defines that block. Right. I mean, as I said, when we announced it, I couldn't think of someone in the city that's better defined geographically by that block than Reverend Powell. And so, you know, I think it's a good start of things to come. And we've had those conversations about, you know, we have many, many amazing people who have lived here, had such a huge impact in our community, in the world. And, you know, it's something that we want to look into further to have those type of opportunities to honor people deservingly. So November 1st at noon, I believe, is when we're going to do the official ceremony.
I love it. And again, I'm a bit, you know, more statues, more variety, more history, more education. The more of it, the better. I'm any form of that. Basically, I'm all for it. City administrator search still ongoing. Where are we at?
As of this morning, we're announcing that David Stafford is going to be our new city administrator, which we're very excited about. Obviously, if you've lived here for any amount of time, you know that name, or at least familiar as the former supervisor of elections. And not only does he bring 30 years of of experience, both in the political field and in public service, but certainly in leadership. And we're very, very excited to have him. In addition to that, someone who also, like me, who grew up in Pensacola, and the credibility and reputation that he has, which, you know, I consider a sterling reputation here, will be valuable for us as we not only get things done, but also convey that message to our citizens, and to have that, you know, type of credibility and reputation in our office will be great. So we're very, very excited to have him. He starts on the 27th.
Outstanding.
And great things to come.
No, that's great. I love David Stafford. He's fantastic. So, and as you say, you know, widely respected, probably could have run for Congress and maybe won back in the day. And, you know, certainly a supervisor of elections for a long time, and then working with CISA, right? Most recently he was working for the cybersecurity agency, wasn't he? Or DHS in some capacity.
That's right. He had left a supervisor for that position. But you know, again, I certainly we take it as a compliment that he wants to come serve the city where he's from. And that's one of the great things. It's why I do what I do. And is that when you grow up here and you're, you know, mission driven to make this the best city you can make it, because it's your city, you know, forever. You know, with that type of aligned vision makes us that much more excited, you know, that we're really both doing this because we love this place.
REAP shelters are supposed to be in place by Thanksgiving. I thought that was a pretty good announcement. What's the number again that REAP's doing?
They're doing 14, and then there's another vendor that'll be doing a smaller amount. But very excited for that. Perfect setting and scenario for that already existing facility, and to get them done that quick. That's exactly why we did them.
Right.
I mean, to say, hey, let's get this procurement done and let's get these things built. So excited to hear that as well.
Pensacola Motor Lodge, you guys made a change or an announcement about this, but it's more just looking for bids, right, for development?
Exactly. It's ministerial in the sense that we've disposed of the property technically, meaning anybody can buy it, but we're still the mission has not changed there whatsoever. If we're going to sell it, it will be sold deed restricted, that it must be for housing, you know, affordable housing.
Okay.
So it allows us to sell it instead of just ground lease it or something like that.
And some people have that. Well, they're getting out of the business. No, I don't think that's what they're doing. They're just trying to facilitate it happening. Hey, quickly, just the Veterans Memorial Park bathrooms, where are we at?
I know that that's moving. You know, we know what the budget is, what the budget that we have remaining is. And it's, you know, at last check, I haven't checked on it probably in a couple of weeks, but we were moving forward pretty aggressively. So we've got the funding for it, and we have the location, the exact spot for it, and just trying to get the construction going.
And these will be regular bathrooms, not the Portland Loos, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
That is
right.
Correct. So it'll be a regular bathroom structure right there by the parking lot.
Outstanding. All right. We always like to end with the lightning round. When you, Mayor D.C. Reeves, come upon a QR code, either on TV or in an email or in the wild, so to speak, do you scan them?
Usually. I mean, I don't do it just for like the sake of doing it, though. Is that what you're saying?
Or
fool you with any QR code?
John Pickens will scan anything he sees. I never scan them because I don't trust them. So where are you in that scale?
Oh, I see. All right. So then under that, I'm in the middle. I don't think that all of them are a virus like you, and simply scan every QR code for the sake of doing it. So I'm a 5 out of 10.
You're a selective scanner. You're not a promiscuous, and you're not a, you know, an abstinence only. So, okay, I got you.
Exactly.
Do you use GPS when you're driving? How about right by your house?
No. I'm trying to be that traditionalist male that pretends that they know how to get everywhere. So only once I've circle the block a couple times. I certainly won't ask for directions.
Then
that's when I'll get my GPS out.
All right, very good. And what's the musical that you think, if you had to guess, you have seen the most times or know the most well, you've listened to the most? Maybe you worked on it or were in it. What's your top of the mind musical?
Oh, okay. That's easy. It was the last one I've seen, and I've got an 11-year-old, so I know the soundtrack well, is Wicked.
So we had
a chance to see it this summer, and with a sixth grader in the house, I have no choice but to know at least the majority of the songs on the soundtrack.
Well done. Mayor D.C. Reeves, we've got city council meeting tomorrow night. I expect, even though it's off agenda, you'll have a lot of people showing up again talking about the Drag Queen Christmas, and we'll see you all about all of that. In any case, otherwise, it'll be a pretty light agenda, so we'll see how long the meeting goes. It's going to be up to the public, basically.
That's right.
Mayor, thanks so much for the time, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, Andrew.
7:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Nobody ever gets up in the morning and says, woohoo, I want to replace my roof today. It's not exciting. It's not sexy, but it is necessary. And, you know, if your roof is older, you might need to for insurance purposes. Or, you know, maybe it's just like a little bit of it's a problem, you think, and you don't know whether that repair or is that a replace. Well, call Quality Roofing Solutions, and they'll help you figure it out. Brian Ward started this company in 2006. They've done 10,000 roofs in the area, 4.9 rating on Google, you know, which is amazing. All kinds of local charity stuff. They work with our Gateway and local youth sports and, you know, financial literacy education, Santa Rosa County. They're doing Dave Ramsey stuff there for a while. Anyway, what they want to do is help you understand, okay? And maybe it makes more sense to repair, but about 90% of what they do is replace, 10% repair. But, of course, if you repair, maybe that you're going to have to repair again in a couple of years or replace even in a couple of years. And so it might make more sense to replace now when the cost might be better. Also, if it can affect your insurance rate, it might almost pay for itself or at least, you know, defray the cost significantly. And they'll talk with you about all that stuff and explain it in a way you understand. And when you have questions, they'll answer you and not assume you already know and not treat you like you can't understand. Like, treat you like people. That's the idea. Lifetime warranty for the roof, which is absolutely unheard of in the industry, but that's what they do. They just started doing that within the last couple of months. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. The only delay I'm seeing right now is on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Through that construction zone, expect about a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area. Other than that, things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Is your home your dream home? Or does it at least have the potential to be your dream home? Maybe you need to make a change. Maybe you just need new appliances. If that's the case, you need to check out Topps Appliance in Milton. Locally owned and operated, Topps Appliance has just what you need to turn your home into your dream home. Top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, stoves, plus washer and dryer combos. Topps Appliance carries the name brands that you know and trust, including GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and so much more. And they have a full installation and service department, something the big box stores just don't offer. They also keep most items in stock so you can take it home today. Turn your ordinary home into your dream home with an appliance upgrade from Topps Appliance. Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
Hurricane season is here, and Gulf Breeze Natural Gas helps provide the most reliable energy source. There are advantages to having natural gas in your home or business. Major storms typically do not cause widespread outages because gas lines are buried and protected. Most appliances, including cooking and hot water, still work during electrical outages. A gas generator gets everything back up and running within 30 seconds. That's the length of this commercial. Learn more about how to be best prepared at GulfBreezeNaturalGas.com.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Blackley throws it up near sideline towards the end zone. Picked off! Yeah! Four-man rush, Mendoza stepping up, he goes down!
House call! Touchdown, Florida State! Touchdown, FSU!
Start your college football day this Saturday with the Florida State Seminoles and the Pitt Panthers in a key ACC matchup on the Seminole Sports Network.
FSU welcomes the Pitt Panthers Saturday. Kickoff is at 11 a.m. on News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, 7:59 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. An FBI corruption unit is being shut down after it reportedly monitored communications between Republican senators. FBI Director Kash Patel saying yesterday the unit was dismantled after a Fox News report claimed it monitored a dozen GOP senators.
Also, we might have Blue Angels practices
local news
all this
every
week.
Hour and breaking news.